There's more going on than you know. There are unseen universal forces at work. The law of attraction is just one universal law that plays a part in shaping your reality. But there's so much more to know. If you knew how to engage all the universal forces, you could deliberately create the life of your dreams. Joshua, a group of non-physical teachers, explains the laws of the universe and how the mechanisms of physical reality actually work. They are channeled by Gary Temple Bodley, and each week, Gary and a group of students discuss how they are affecting and enhancing their lives every single day. This is the expansion of the law of attraction. This is the teachings of Joshua Roundtable. We're thrilled you're here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 76 of the teachings of Joshua Roundtable. I'm your host, Gary Temple Bodley. Does anyone else out there have parents who are aging? I do. And it's not always easy to maintain your alignment when you watch them struggling with issues around health and resistance. You want to do whatever you can to help, but the problem is when you see them as having a problem. We tend to lose our alignment, and we offer advice that comes from a place of disconnection. The fear causes us to look at their situation from a limited perspective, and when we do that, we lose our access to higher vibrational thoughts and ideas, and we're of no help to anyone. This week we have a question from Victoria, who has a father dealing with some health issues. She understands that this is something he's experiencing in his reality, but she wants to help, and she's having a hard time keeping herself in alignment. And I'm having a hard time reading this, too. On the round table this week, we have Kyla Hinton. Hi, Kyla.
Hello.
And Wendy Pierce. Hi, Wendy.
Hello.
And Mark Shahada. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
And introducing for the first time ever, Isabel Zimmerman. Hi, Isabel.
Woo!
Hi, everyone.
So glad you could join us.
Thank you for having me.
Isabel is new to the one-on-one program. Are you having fun so far?
I am. I like to get into the technical details of things.
That's for sure, because your questions go to this totally different level that brings out some of the longest answers that Joshua's ever answered before. Like, usually an answer is like maybe 1,000 words, sometimes 800 words. Sometimes 500 words, but some of yours are like 2,000 words.
Wow. Sorry, Gary, I guess.
It's exhausting.
It's exhausting.
I'm just so curious.
No, they're really, really good. And it's fun to answer them, too. So glad you're having a good time with that.
I am.
How did you find Joshua, by the way?
Very cool. But there's a lot of us on the live call.
Uh-huh.
So it's hard to, that's why I jumped in first.
Uh-huh.
Was just because I don't want to overtalk anyone else, if that makes sense.
Well, I mean, how did you even come to know that Joshua existed?
How did I even know? Okay, yeah. So thank you for doing this. And I will tell you my little path that hippity hopped to Joshua.
Uh-huh.
I went to a chiropractor. I had plantar fasciitis for about 2 years, and I love to hike. In fact, you see my little puppy on my Facebook all the time. That's Bijou, and I like to take her hiking, and the plantar fasciitis was really hindering me. So my husband went to Dr. Kier, and Dr. Kier said, you know, what do you do? And I said, oh, I'm writing a book. I work for this company called Neopose. And he's like, what's your book about? And I said, oh, I'm really into fantasies and fairies and spirit guides. And he said, do you listen to podcasts? And I said, yeah, I devour podcasts. I listen to a lot of podcasts. He's like, have you heard of Roberta Grimes? I said, no. And he's like, oh, she's a lawyer that studies the afterlife. You should give her a try. So Roberta Grimes, Gary, was on the Law of Attraction radio station, the podcast. So I have a 45-minute commute each way. So I get to learn, you know, an hour and a half every day. So I really burn through podcasts. And I was listening to, I went through Roberta Grimes' all of her physical reality. No, I forgot her show's name. But anyways, you can find Roberta Grimes on the afterlife and the reality and the scientists that were on there and the afterlife of death experience and how Carol was channeling her son, Mikey. And it was really interesting. And then I saw Joshua and I started to listen, and you had a manifestation event with your dad. Kind of, it was the apartment,
the
roommate.
Yep.
Yes, the condo. And I have to tell you, by sharing that experience was really great, because you showed the daily application of law of attraction in reality, like an everyday experience.
Right.
And that was it. I was hooked.
Oh, good.
I was addicted. I was totally addicted. So of course I had to like hunt down your first episodes, because I don't know what number that was. And then I found you on Law of Attraction. And then your first interview, was it with Jules?
Yeah, with Jules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I listened, and Kyla, I remember when you first joined and Wendy, you know, it was so awesome.
And now you're here.
And now I'm here.
Wow.
But if it wasn't for the chiropractor leading me to Roberta Grimes, that led me to, I didn't even know there was a whole radio station or podcast station of Law of Attraction.
Yeah. Interesting.
I love little nuggets like that.
Well, yeah. Everyone makes their way here their own way, and you never know how that's going to be. Because obviously you're just attracted to the information that you need, because you've reached that vibration. And so those people who are listening to this now have reached this vibration, which Joshua always says is a very high vibration, because there's, you know, if this is the leading edge of the leading edge of the leading edge. You have to really be at a high vibration to get what we're talking about here, because the primary idea is that there is no wrong. Mm-hmm. And for people to understand that by taking a look at anything and judging it as right or wrong, when in fact it's actually neutral, is just the judgment. That judgment aspect of it is all based in fear. And so there's two emotions, fear and love. And if you're judging anything as wrong, then you're doing it from a perspective of fear, and that fear is limiting. And so what we're talking about here, and what Josh was talking about, is how do we create a limitless experience of life when we are surrounded by fear in every second of every day, and how do we process that fear and remove the limitations that are caused by fear to become authentic. So that's what this
is. Wow, that was such a good explanation.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you still think, like when Janine was on the podcast in the beginning, this was her struggle, because she still believes that things, that there is wrong, that not everything can be right, right? And everyone is going to struggle with that idea of right and wrong. I mean, and the first thing people do is they go to the number 10
extreme
worst wrong thing in the world, right? And what we're saying is, well, start with the little things that you think are wrong, like someone honking at you in traffic, or someone saying something impolite to you, or not getting your, having to wait for your, the waiter to bring your check, or getting something wrong in your order, stuff like that. Realize that that stuff is all happening for you and not to you. And if you can start with the little stuff, then you can go broaden that out, because it's your experience that matters, not anyone else's. And then, so when people go to this extreme, they're thinking about other people that they've heard about or seen on TV, not what's happened to them themselves. Because if they say, in my personal experience, I can say that everything is right, I can find a way to figure out how everything is right and how nothing is wrong. That's all we're talking about here. But having found us means that, and being able to listen to us, or even being able to finish a book. Have you read any of the books, Isabel?
Yeah, so I have two of the books. The Radical and the first one, Perception.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So and
a lot of people will pick up a perception of reality and not get through it. It'll be too dense. It's a super. Some people find it really easy, and some people find it really dense. My best friend Rob can't get through the first chapter. And then my friend Bruce read the whole book in one night, in one 24-hour period. You know, so it just sort of depends where your vibration is.
Could there be anything else that goes into that? Because I, like, I find that my path of least resistance for receiving information is more like through podcasts or, I don't know, shorter. Because I'm going to admit something, I haven't finished it.
Yeah.
And not because I don't understand the information, but it's just like I haven't been inspired to go back to it.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's totally part of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what we're sort of doing here by having the podcast and by doing the Facebook and having the books and doing the mm-hmm. meditations is that no matter how you reach the vibrational alignment with mm-hmm. it, there's something for you that you can
mm-hmm.
do. But also, even if you were to read the book, this is a really interesting thing. Like, we talk about this all the time. If you opened any of these books and had a highlighter and just highlighted the aha moments that you get.
So many.
When you're done mm-hmm. with it, right, you have raised your vibration through the process of reading the book. Wait a week or wait a month or whatever, go back and read it again. You'll highlight all different stuff because your vibration is raised to a different level. So mm-hmm. you'll say, I didn't even know that was in this book. I don't even know that was in this book at all.
I've done that. Was listening to, going back and listening to old Joshua vibes. It's like, oh my God, I didn't even hear that.
Yeah.
I actually like to take the books and open up to any page.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so cool is that that's the page that I need.
Right.
At that moment.
Yeah. I've done a lot of that.
I was just going to say that too, because when I had, not come out as a channel to Bruce, who's my oldest friend since we were in ninth grade. And so he's a super intelligent guy. We've been business partners and best friends our whole lives. And he came over and I said, I got something to tell you. And I handed him the book and told him the whole story. And then he's just going through the book, just randomly saying, you know, reading paragraphs. And it's like, oh my God, oh my God. So it was pretty cool. Yeah. But then, you know, then Joshua writes Health, Wealth, and Love, which is a completely another approach to looking at all this. And then the Joshua Diet, which can attract a whole different group of people.
Yeah. I love the Joshua Diet. I do the workbook. And
too.
I just want to tell you, it is my favorite because I feel like I'm participating in something. And that's me. Like, I love to play for the sake of playing. So I love to do the workbook for the sake of doing the workbook, to write in it and to circle stuff and keep like, oh, I meditated today. And I don't know. Yeah. I really like it. So thank you for creating that.
I like it for me. I mean, I make it a habit of doing it the first thing in the morning before anything else. And
me too.
I like it because it keeps me focused, especially on setting my intentions for the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
really,
Barry, if somebody,
go ahead.
I was going to say, if somebody wanted to purchase one of these books, The Joshua Diet or Radical Change or Perception of Reality or what, Health, Wealth, and Love, where would they do that?
Just go to Amazon and type in Gary Temple Bodley. That's probably the best way to search it. Or go to the website, with teachingsofjoshua.com. And the books are there. They'll just link to Amazon. So you can do that as well. And also, there are meditations that are at cdbaby.com.
Uh-huh.
And we have
We just got go ahead.
The new one is my favorite so far, which is Freedom.
Me too.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Really great.
Yeah, wow. That one is not yet up on CD Baby, but it will be soon. And also I realized the health one isn't on CD Baby either, but there is a health meditation as well.
Did you ever finish the worthiness one?
Nope. I haven't felt worthy enough.
Okay.
Just got a little resistance around worthiness there.
I do.
All right. Well, we're glad you guys are all here today. Who wants to do the quote? Isabel, would you want to do the quote?
I would love to do the quote. So I'm just going to describe the picture. It's a sun setting with a crashing wave.
Actually, it's the sun rising. Because
it's the sun rising.
On the East Coast. And so we don't get that sunset in the ocean here.
Wow. Very cool. The power of the mind is an awesome thing to behold. Focus brings the full energy of the mind onto the subject of your attention. When aligned with what you really want and who you really are, the mind engages and leverages universal forces. Joshua.
So that
bam
idea is that the reason you want to feel good And the reason you want to spend so much of your time thinking about how you feel and getting yourself to feeling good is because you connect to this higher level energy that allows you to bring forth higher vibrational thoughts and ideas that will serve you in whatever it is you're doing at the time. So right now, if we psych ourselves up and if we feel good, we can say things smoothly and easily and bring ideas forth and not stutter and not say, and think about things today and not get distracted. That's what we're doing by feeling good and, you know, really hooking into this alignment with who we really are, which allows, you know, all we're doing right now is the same thing that I do when I'm channeling Joshua, is bringing forth this intelligence that comes through me so that we can say smoothly and elegantly. When I'm fully engaged with Joshua, and if you want to hear that, it's the Joshua Live podcast. There's no real separation. It's just coming through in one stream of consciousness. Here, at me being Gary, I'm like reaching for words and reaching for words and trying to say the best things. And then I go through spurts where I can speak clearly and concisely and say exactly what I want to say. And then other times I'll be distracted and say, and search for the right word and that sort of thing. But basically, it's the same thing. It's reaching for this higher level thoughts and ideas by being, feeling good, being engaged, being psyched up, you know, that sort of thing, being in the zone.
Yeah, definitely the zone. You got to get in the zone.
Yeah. And you can only get in the zone by feeling good.
Right. I've been having some interesting things. You know, everybody knows about the migraines. I am having migraines all day long, off and on. And it's just the weirdest thing. Mm. Like, I'll get this intense pain. And I'll be like, stop and say, okay, what's going on? And stop and think, what am I resisting? And, oh, okay. And then I'll talk to myself a little bit, and then it'll go away. Mm. And I'll walk through the day, and then it'll pop back up, and I'll be like, okay, what am I? It is the most bizarre thing. It's like instant notification that something's right. Yeah, it's been bizarre. Really bizarre.
Wow.
And fun. And fun.
What you're going through with the migraine?
What?
Or what you're thinking?
What? Say that again, Mark.
Can you usually associate, like, if you're thinking something negative or
fearful? Yeah. And it's what's really getting me is it's like silly, silly little tiny things. But now I'm understanding that those tiny things, if I don't address them, fester. So my body's immediately now saying, deal with it, deal with it.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Just and being before, aware. Were the migraines like there all day?
Yeah, like days.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And leading up to this, I had a migraine for 10 days and it was just it was really intense. But then I was working through that huge manifestation event with the buyers on this property. And once I kind of resolved all that and understood and internalized it, then now it's just kind of like these little pains pop up here and there.
So interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't it though? I mean, it's just like the body is amazing.
Hey, Wendy, how long ago was this? Is this recent?
Recent. Yeah. The 10 days, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like last week. Yeah. Like last week and the week before.
So you had been really, like, on the cruise. Did you have any migraines on the cruise?
Mm-mm.
And so you were doing really good. And then you got back into real estate and you have this buyer that is specifically pushing certain worthiness buttons.
Yes.
Because he's like a super high power salesman and he's probably trying to dominate the energy.
Mm. You
know? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And telling me what to do. And my first thing was like resistance. And then it was like, no, all right, fine. Let's do that. You know, I just, whatever. I don't care. If that's what you want to do. Let's do it.
Mm.
Yeah. That's so interesting.
Just getting good stuff.
You got to get the persona out of the way.
Right. So the belief that you have to be an expert in real estate, something Joshua had talked about, is that you are not an expert. There are experts. You're not an expert. You don't need to be an expert. What you need to do for you personally is be a being of love and acceptance and easygoing and calm and allow the people to go through whatever fear they're going through. And that's your superpower.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was really cool because we were at the home inspection and he started in on something, and I don't remember what it was now,
because I didn't really listen to him. The whole time I just stood there saying, I see the light inside of me sees the light inside of you. And I just kept looking at him and projecting love. And I don't remember what he said, but it all worked out.
Yeah. Because, you know, buyers and sellers are going to bring up their fears.
Yeah.
And so there's always weird things going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had a funny thing too. Old client popped out of the blue and he wants to buy a house for his son. So he's like, this $200,000 range. And I'm like, well, there's, you know, nothing available, but here's a house for, we can get for like 155 or 160. That's going to need $40,000 worth of work. And he's a doctor. So this is in Palm Beach Gardens. So the Palm Beach Gardens is a really nice area, but this one little neighborhood is the worst neighborhood. And the house is built in the 60s and it's totally a horrible house. Just disgusting. Like, it has to be gutted. I mean, but it's small enough that you could do it for $40,000. But the neighborhood is terrible. And, you know, the kid is used to living a little bit better than this because you should see the house they live in. It's unbelievable. So, and the kid is, you know, 20 in his 20s now. So, knowing this, I'm like, I better have a backup in case this doesn't work. So, I get a house in a nice neighborhood just a little ways down that's newer and it's a gated community. And so I said, this house is $250,000. Let's just show him this one, or let's just have this as a backup. And of course, everything was cool. He hated this house, and he couldn't believe this is what you had to pay to get a house in Palm Beach Gardens. So I took him to this other house, and the other house is 500 square foot bigger. It's new. It's in perfect condition, and it's in a nice neighborhood. But I couldn't open the lockbox, which is so weird, right? And so we had to look around the house and just look in the windows. There's no way to get in. My key fob thing didn't work. And so we made an offer anyway. And I'm like, this is just a resistance here. It's no big deal. We don't need to go in. We can look in the windows. It'll be fine. And if it gets accepted, then we'll come back and take a look at it again. And so it got accepted. We have a contract. He's never seen the inside. And we were supposed to see it last night. And last night, he was supposed to call me and we were going to go over. And he never called. Interesting, yeah. Like, you can see that there's just a little resistance that he's, you know, having to put up money for his son, you know, and this, I can see it all happening. It's just like, makes so much sense from this perspective. And I don't have to worry about any of it because it has nothing to do with me. And if the deal falls apart, it has nothing to do with me, you know.
Right.
So you got this one under contract?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. And just a lot of fears. I mean, it's a very expensive house, nice neighborhood, but it's original from 1965. So they have a lot of work they need to do. And so that's where their whole, but they really want this neighborhood and this is the only way they can do it. So a lot of wobble, but they're coming around.
I don't know, but yeah, in my everyday life now, I'm just seeing how these fears, even my own fears, are popping up that are so irrational. And it's just because I'm attached to this outcome of something little, tiny little things, you know, and I'm just like getting myself, I can see myself getting upset about it. I'm like, why are you getting upset? Nothing matters. Just focus on feeling good. It's going to all work out. You know, I just keep saying to myself, it's all going to work out. It's all going to work out. And it always does work out every time. But there's moments when you think it's not going to work out. It's just yourself torturing yourself.
Yeah.
For no reason.
Well, and the persona. I mean, we all have very strong personas. Mm-hmm. And getting that out of the way is tough sometimes.
Conversation today, we were talking about this new idea that's coming up. Joshua just started a new book last week called An Authentic Life, and it's about how to live authentically, which means in really, really those most general terms, it means being who you really are while living in physical reality. Who you really are, who everyone really is a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance. Limitless means without fear, and love and acceptance are basically synonymous. To love someone isn't this gushy thing of hugging them. It's being able to accept them for who they are. And so in an authentic life, you accept everyone for who they are as perfect. You accept yourself as perfect. And so there's this new thing that's coming up about energy. And I think it came out to Kyla first. So Joshua asked me to write Kyla something about the energy between people. And there's a, you know, physical energy of how, you know, boisterous someone is, how much that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the spiritual energy of people, where who everyone is a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance. And from that non-physical place, they have, everyone's energy is equal. In the physical place, our energy, our spiritual energy is equal. Yet how we interact with each other takes that energy and places it off balance. For instance, if you're talking to your, you know, if you're a kid talking to your father, the father takes this dominant role, and the kid takes this subordinate role, which is not true. What's true is they're equals, 100% equal. In fact, really, what's true is that the kid has a higher vibration anyway. But that being aside from that, is that no matter who you're talking to, whether it's your wife, your parents, your kids, your boss, someone you think is an expert, someone you think is more powerful than you or less powerful or whatever, you're actually all equal. When you come into an interaction as equals, well, then you have the opportunity to share this power and build this power and create something that's bigger than yourself. And I think Emma asked a question about this. Someone did, and they were using the, Josh was using the example of Elton John and Bernie Taupin, and how they came together as this equal energy, even though they're different, right? So Bernie's the lyricist and Elton is the musician, but their egos were so aligned and so equal at the time that they've been able to create this unbelievable music together that exceeded both of what they could do individually. The power of them coming together was so much more than it would be if they were individuals. And you can see this with a lot of bands, too. So it doesn't matter what your role is in this thing. You could be the drummer of a band and consider yourself equal, share equal energy with everyone else, and amazing things can happen. In this interaction with the five of us talking on this podcast, I'm here who could easily take this dominant role. And Isabel, for instance, is new, and she could easily take a subordinate role. But our intentions before we came on air were to be equal in energy, and then to, whatever your role is, consider yourself equal, and then to allow yourself to connect to higher level thoughts and ideas so that this combination of the five of us can be more than it could be if it was just one of us, for instance. And I don't know where I was going with that, but...
So that's before the call, you're talking about how, so you can just play that out in your life, right? So
that when you interact with anyone, you come in there not as dominant, not as subordinate. You might, in some cases, want to be dominant, but that is this persona interacting. But if you see them as equal to you, as everyone's equal, then you go in with a steady vibration that doesn't fluctuate based on if they're trying to be dominant or if they're trying to give away their energy to you and have you be dominant. Just stay steady as seeing yourself as equal to them, no matter who they are, and don't let them take your energy or don't let them give you their, you know, give away their energy. You just maintain your balance there. And then they'll come around to you eventually or not, you know. You won't know, but you have to give it a little time and then you'll see. But the other example of that was if you ever have a conversation with somebody and you're just having a great time talking back and forth, you're feeling all the energy together, you're laughing, these brilliant ideas are coming to you, these funny stories are coming to you. That's this equal energy that works together to create something much more.
Yeah.
And it all starts with seeing everyone else as equal.
And then I guess, like, if you are trying that, like if you're talking to someone who's usually more dominant, also to be aware, if you're trying to be conscious of that, but also to be aware of not to overthink it too, because then you, I don't want him to overtake my energy and I want to rise to his level. And then that can just be a whole mind trip too.
Right.
So just to be aware of it.
Yeah.
And then to go in there and let it flow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you can get, the idea for Emma was that you go into this interaction with someone from a stance of curiosity. Like, how are they going to try and be dominant, or how are they going to try and be subordinate to me? And what are their tactics that they're going to use? And let's see how long I can maintain my equal and maintain my vibration by seeing them as equal. And you know, we're so used to taking one role over the other that we'll probably take a little practice, but this is a whole new idea.
Yeah, it could feel very foreign at first.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to really be aware of it. For me, anyways, I have to, like, for instance, like going into that home inspection, I had to like pre-pave and prepare myself and be aware of what was going on rather than just allowing it to go on. I wanted to be focused on what it was so that I could deal with it. Does that make sense? Like as it was coming at me, I wanted to be able to deal with it versus later on thinking, why is my head hurt? Or why didn't I say this? Or why did he do that? Just, I wanted to really be aware
of my surroundings. Be present and then be connected present. So that you can have access to the best possible ideas, the best possible thoughts, and the best possible words to say that will help the people, you know, soothe their fears.
Yes, that was a perfect word. Exactly. Be present in the moment and stay in the moment. That's not easy to do.
No.
Right.
Especially if the other people are having fear, because that will tend to infect you.
Right. You know?
I think that if you're in sales in general, what you're really doing is you're saying things that are soothing to people to help them get over their fears. Another issue, another conversation that Mark was having with Joshua was this idea that for him to be totally connected to the well-being of his clients when he's doing tapping, you know, he has to be feeling really good and feeling worthy and all that stuff too, so that he has access to the right words to say while he's doing it, and the power of the universe flowing through him to help the people.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Cool. All righty. Well, this all started today with Victoria's question this week about her dad. And there could have been a million questions this week because there were so many great ones. But I picked this one because I think that a lot of us are going through this issue. I certainly am. And it's how to deal with your parents who are struggling. So what did you want to read for Victoria?
Sure. I don't have her accent, but I'll do my best.
Victoria is living in England somewhere.
Okay. Dearest Joshua, my dad is 79, and up until February, he's been really well on no medication, fit, and happy. My parents sold their house shortly before Christmas and are having a house built. In the meantime, they have moved into the cottage attached to our house. My dad started having ankle pain, and I thought it was related to grounding. Yet in February, his ankles swelled up and became very dry. He went to a dermatologist who prescribed a steroid cream.
Let me stop you here. Victoria is a holistic healer.
Right. Homeopathic.
Homeopathic, right.
Yeah. I think at this point, I need to explain my beliefs here. I believe that most medical doctors do not treat holistically. They suppress symptoms, especially skin symptoms, with drugs, and then force the symptoms back inside, and that is when chronic problems arise. When a reasonably healthy body is out of balance, the body will do the most intelligent thing and send the imbalance to the organ as far away from the major organs as possible, the skin. So back to the steroid cream. I stated my case. My mother told me they had no choice but to use it, and a few days later, his entire body is covered in the rash. His wrist so swollen, he can no longer wear a watch, and his legs are now oozing blood and pus. They returned to their doctor, who prescribed another steroid cream, which this time they refused to use. At some point, I prescribed my rebalancing remedies to him and discuss hydration, as he's not drinking much. He immediately starts the remedies and ups water consumption to 2.5 liters a day. His body starts oozing significantly more. He blames homeopathy. I've made him worse, but from my perspective, I see his body is trying to get rid of something. We agree to disagree.
So here's an interesting point, too. It's like, you're, of all the people who should believe in you, you'd think it'd be your parents, but it's never worked like that, it seems.
Never.
You know? Yeah.
Never. Yeah.
When we were doing Light Spa, which was teeth whitening, we were setting up franchises all over the world. And I was flying here and there, and we were one of the biggest, fastest-growing franchises, and it was just this huge thing that was just blowing up. Well, I sold the entire continent of Africa to a company in Cape Town, and my mom was living in Johannesburg at the time. So me and Clark went down to Cape Town to set them up, and then they were going to have a big franchise trade show in Johannesburg. So then we all flew up to Johannesburg and got to hang out with my mom, which was great. So my mom comes to the trade show, and we have 8 chairs lined up, people paying $150 for 20-minute teeth whitening and standing in line, and everyone's clamoring to get in, and this is a big deal, like it always is, right? So I'm saying, Mom, you can go and have your teeth done and if you like. And she's like, oh, no, that's terrible for you. That'd be the worst thing. I know that's really a bad thing for you to do it, right? I said, no, I've done thousands of these. It works perfectly for every person, and don't worry about it. It'll be great. And she's like, no, that's just dangerous. I would never do anything like that. And so at the very end, we're all getting ready. We're packing things up. She goes, you know what? I think I'll try it. You just packed everything up. You can't try it now. You know? It's like, oh, a total manifestation event for me. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Cool. He agrees to see a friend of mine who is a reflexologist who tells him his liver is completely flat. On Thursday, he is so much worse. He's sleepy most of the day and then awake most of the night with intense irritation. I ask him about digestion as I am concerned there is an imbalance in his liver, pancreas, etc. He tells me bowel movements have significantly changed and since his arms have swollen, he no longer urinates, well, very, very little. I am full of fear at this point and ask if he's told the doctors and he replies they never asked. I know I should be in judgment, but I should not be in judgment, right?
Right.
I know I should not be in judgment, but this infuriates me because he's really sick and no one has even bothered asking. With his permission, we go to the emergency room. We see the nurse who says we did the right thing coming, wait 4 hours and see the doctor. The doctor is lovely, listens to our concerns and says they will find out what the cause is and says he needs a second opinion from a more senior doctor and disappears. When she returns alone, she simply states we must wait to see the dermatologist. I ask about the lack of urination, which started at the same time as the steroid was prescribed, and she states he is just getting old and asks us to leave. I feel like a failure, and as I've got nowhere and put my father through 5 hours of being in the hospital for nothing. We return, and I suggest that my parents call a friend of theirs who's a private doctor. He knows the dermatologist my dad is due to see and says she is very good. No tests are done, but apparently she said if this isn't sorted soon, my father will be critical and admitted to the hospital. They are given no explanation as to the cause, just severe eczema, but my father has now been prescribed a month's course of oral steroids that he is going to take. My head is literally spinning. From my perspective, my father may have just given his death sentence. Sorry for being dramatic, but it's how I feel. So if I analyze this, what are my fears? That my father has a serious condition and by taking this medication, it will just cover it up, suppress the cause, and he will end up very, very sick. That my parents do not think I add value and what I do does not work. That my mother, who has always fought so hard to get to the bottom of causes of symptoms for all of her family, has given up on my father. I understand all these fears are limiting and irrational. They will not kill me. But what if the fear is that something one of my loved one is doing will kill him? Watching people I love do things that may shorten their lives just seems too hard. I'm not supposed to say that anyone is wrong and what they are doing is wrong. But if my children end up in an abusive relationship or addicted to drugs, am I just supposed to say all is okay? Okay, and let them carry on. If it is the case that I shouldn't help and influence anyone else's journey, should just care about myself and not nurture my loved ones in the physical world, I'm not sure I should be here. Maybe I'm just not ready for your teachings. I thought I was, but I'm just not sure. I'm so irritable and ghastly. I don't like myself at the moment. So different as I've always liked myself and consider myself very loyal and caring. Dramatically yours, love, Victoria.
All right. So this is the thing about thinking things are wrong, right? Mm-hmm. And Joshua explains it perfectly. But here it is. This seems like it's wrong, right? And it seems like she should be upset. And it seems like, you know, if something's happened to your loved ones, that you are okay in feeling upset and you can think it's wrong. And the reason that you don't think is wrong will be apparent when Joshua explains it. Or the reason it's not beneficial or empowering to think it's wrong.
Many things are being thrown at her, though. It's like, okay, don't get it now. How about now? How about now? You know what I mean? She's getting all these different manifestation events to just, like, push her to see what's really going on.
Right. And then this is only question 13. And in the beginning of someone's one-on-one experience, the first few questions are when they really don't get it and they don't understand it yet. And it's not really until question like 40 for most people or 50 that they start to see what's going on. Yeah. And that's when this big turnaround happens for a lot of people. Sometimes it's earlier or later. But you can see here how this is just like everyone goes through the same thing. I even go through it all the time. My mother had a stroke. And, you know, that when we were there in South Africa, it was the last time I saw her healthy and up and around. Just about a year later, she had a stroke, almost died, and was left half paralyzed. Mm-hmm. And so now, you know, how do you not feel bad about that? Where she's in a wheelchair, in a nursing home, you know, 6,000 miles away or wherever she is. You know, that stuff can really eat you alive if you let it.
Yeah.
But I'm of no benefit to her, you know, for getting upset. So we'll see what Joshua says about this one. Kyla, what should you read for Joshua?
Sure. Our dearest Victoria, you should care about your loved ones. You should care about their well-being. You should be there for them when they need you. And you should also know how the universe works so that your love and care will be effective in bringing what you want most. You want to help. You want to heal. You want everyone to be healthy and happy. That is a wonderful thing. And as you know, you are a wonderful person. You did not find us by accident. The timing was not wrong. It was perfect. You are more than ready for our teachings. And by the end of this conversation, you will see everything from a much higher perspective. As you raise your own vibration, you become someone who is much more able to help those around you. And this is what you truly want.
Right. So when you're in this place of fear and you're disconnected from your inner self and from these higher vibrational ideas, you're only going to receive urges and compulsions that help you feel better. You know, like if you get, when you're angry and you punch a door, for instance, that inspiration to punch the door isn't going to get you further along toward what you really want. It's just this, you feel like you have to do something and this will take your mind off it, but breaking your hand doesn't really help, right?
No.
You just don't have access to the ideas that can help. Mm-hmm. Right? Next one.
Okay.
You could not be interested in holistic healing if you were someone who did not care about others. The fact that you care so much is why you were drawn into this field. You know the benefit it offers, but there is a way for you to leverage your powers of healing so that you are in alignment with the forces of the universe. Without those forces behind you and supporting you, you have little power or influence. It is your influence that will do the most good for the greatest number of people. Your disbelief, traditional Western medicine is not unfounded. It's simply not helpful. Let us explain this further.
Okay.
You want me to keep going? When you treat a patient, you are less attached to the outcome and you are more enthralled by what you are doing. So your emotional state of being is in alignment with universal energies. You are able to tap into a stream of consciousness, which allows you to know the right remedies for the person in question. You are able to say things with confidence, which inspires the patient to believe you. It is the patient's belief in you and your remedies that causes them to allow the remedies to work. Without the belief, the remedies will be ineffective. The patient is the one in control of the healing. You are in control of your alignment.
So that's like Wendy taking buyers out, showing them properties, and then maintaining alignment so that when their fears arise, when their questions come up, she will have access to answers that specifically soothe those people so they can go on to the next step and resolve their fears. If she feels fear because they're complaining or controlling or whatever it is, want her to be different than she is, then she loses access to the things she needs to be saying to them. So the idea is to maintain your alignment no matter what's going on for the sole purpose of receiving access to the higher vibrational ideas and thoughts that will come to you. And this idea that you don't create your thoughts, you attract thoughts and receive thoughts that are useful to you at the time is a fundamental key to understanding what Josh was talking about. Or understanding how reality really works. If you think that you have to come up with all the ideas yourself, now that we know this too, it does seem ridiculous to think that you're going to come up with ideas on your own. That you're just going to manufacture these ideas. It seems like so much more sense that you would attract the ideas that resonate with what you want, with the desire that you have.
Right. You know? That those desires that we're really not even aware of.
Yeah, a lot of those desires we're not even aware of. Exactly right. All right. Go to the next one.
Oh, before you jump in, I just wanted to, this is the placebo effect. This is when you give a placebo pill to somebody and you say this is going to cure you.
Yeah.
That they've done many, many studies. In fact, like 75% of placebos work.
Do you know that even when the patient knows it's a placebo, it still works?
Really?
Did you know that?
Wow.
The act of taking something and this motion of doing it is a healing process.
Huh.
Yeah. I felt that way about antidepressants after my youngest was born. I thought I had postpartum depression, you know, and so one of the suggested remedies was antidepressants. And I didn't really feel any physical changes necessarily, but I felt like I was doing something to help myself. And like, so the act of like taking a pill every day. Yeah.
They also did a study about praying. They said that if someone's in the hospital and the whole church prays for them, it only has an effect if the person knows they prayed for them. If the person doesn't know they prayed for them, it has no effect. But the belief that people are praying for you has a healing effect on you.
Placebo right there.
Yeah. Well, it's belief. You know, it's this idea. You have to encourage the belief. Like when I'm selling a house, I have to encourage buyers that this is the right house for them. And so many real estate agents I taught my whole life couldn't, they were too afraid because they said, I don't know if it's the right house for them. You know, how can I say if it's the right house for them? And I know it is because I know what's on the market. I know what would suit them. I know that sort of thing. Yeah.
That's interesting because I always take the approach that everybody ends up with the house they're supposed to get.
Yeah, which is true. Which is absolutely true. Conduit.
Yeah.
Everyone ends up with the house they're right supposed to get.
Yeah. It's like we can look at a million houses and you can put offers on every house if you want, but you're only going to get the house that you're supposed to get.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Okay, let's go to the next one.
When your father is suffering from something, you cannot be in alignment due to fear. You cannot access the proper remedies or the words that will relay confidence and belief. Your father is also feeling fear, and fear causes doubt. The only way for him to cure himself is through desire and belief. If he has not the desire to be cured, nothing will help. If he has not the belief in the cure, it will make no difference. If he is ready to make his transition, nothing will stop him. He is the only one who can create in his reality.
Okay, so this is a huge factor, that the person is the only one who can create in a reality, who can influence them to believe something, but if the desire is not there, it's not going to matter anyway. They have to have the desire. You can influence a kid to learn how to read, but if the desire is not there, he's going to have trouble reading. You can make him have the desire by telling him he's wrong if he doesn't learn to read or that it's important for him to read, and therefore he better learn how to read, but he's never going to read easily in that case. You know, the desire is really what is the... Did you guys see the video that Kyla made?
Yes.
With the car?
Yes. Is, you know what's funny? I shared that on my personal Facebook page,
yep.
And only Friends of Joshua people acknowledged it.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
My brother
had to watch it. I have to watch it.
Oh, it was your brother's car?
Yeah. It was driving his Miata in the mountains in North Carolina.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. But I thought it was just so incredible.
Yeah.
And it just really shows you that desire is the engine of manifestation, that nothing happens without desire. And you can, if you want something, ramping up that desire will help, as long as you're not focusing on the lack of it being around, you know. That came up in Mark's question. Did you read your question this morning, Mark?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I think that was in there too. Getting the desire to feel more worthy. Boy, that question was just it was for me too. Maybe one day we'll talk about that one. It was such an amazing one.
Yeah.
What they were talking about in Mark's was that, you know, Mark and I think we're similar in this, is we both feel really worthy. Mm-hmm. And Joshua was saying that the worthiness you feel is still unworthy. There is so much more worthiness you could feel. And if you felt more worthy, then more abundance would flow. And abundance is really a direct result of how worthy you feel.
Yeah.
It's a side effect of worthiness. You don't even have to focus on abundance. What you do is focus on worthiness. Well, here I am thinking I'm super worthy. Mark thinks he's worthy. And Joshua's pointing out there's a lot more worthiness in you. And without knowing that there's more worthiness to reach for,
yeah,
you know, you don't have the desire for it. So if you can build a desire to feel even more worthy,
Yeah. Huh. He said, he said a line like, you may think you're worthy, but I mean, they said a line like, you may think you're worthy, but if you knew how, let me see. But if you thought you're worthy as we know you are, or your inner self knows you are, it's a vast difference. And something like that. And I was like, oh, wow.
Imagine that your worthiness is a field of energy around you, and you radiate this energy 5 feet past your skin, right? You know, that's incredibly worthy. So let's say you now reduce the intensity of a limiting belief. Well, you raise it another foot out. And if you reduce the intensity of another belief, you raise it another 5 feet out. Well, if you were able to release all these limiting beliefs and all these fears that are rational, then your energy field would stretch to the corners of the universe.
Yeah.
So that's the difference.
And if you want to make a big impact.
It's infinite. So Mark has to think that he is literally the only person in the world who can do what he can do. There's no one more powerful in the world. You literally need to think of yourself as the most highest, like an Oprah type. Or I always think of, I don't know, John of God. You know, I had this idea. I haven't even seen this picture or seen this interview. Don't know anything about it. But John of God is able to reach his hand in people and cure them, and has this lines and lines of people coming every day and treats hundreds of people a day or something. Have you guys heard of John of God?
Yeah.
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 It's in South America. And it's all done vibration.
And he's a healer?
Yeah. Only one person. Google John of God and you'll see all about it. It's just really fascinating. But that level of worthiness and that power to do that kind of thing, that's what I need to think about myself. That's, you know, I want to be bigger and bolder and greater. And I can see that I feel worthy. And talking to you guys and talking to the people who are listening to the show, I feel worthy. I feel worthy enough to talk about this material. When I'm selling real estate, I feel worthy. When I'm playing poker, I feel worthy. But it's still a little, I'm still limited. Like if Oprah was to interview me, I'd be freaked out, right? That fear would be palpable and I would probably decline it. Because I'm not ready, but I don't feel worthy enough of that.
So and then there's that thing about,
go ahead, Mark.
Oh, just looking to like the, you know, you want to, when you think about feeling really worthy and then really believing in yourself, the idea about, well, how am I going to look to others? Am I going to look too cocky or full of yourself?
Yep.
And that's, for me, I would have to work on that because, you know, you see there's that fine line between confidence and I guess arrogance, or maybe there isn't a fine line, but
Joshua told me cockiness is awesome.
Yeah.
I know. What if we have to be okay we have to be okay. We kind of have to not give a shit what other people think in a way, because that totally stops us a lot. Right.
Even further than that, you have to think that, well, what I think Joshua said that in yours is that you have a responsibility to be worthy, because unless you are worthy, you're not really helping anyone.
I think the way to balance it is to I have that same fear of coming off as cocky, but to think that we are the best in the world and to realize that everybody else is also the best in the world.
Us being the best
doesn't take anything away. When I was doing coaching with Jeanette Ma, she was talking to me about I am statements, you know, and just how to step into your power. And when she was really focusing on that, she wrote an I am statement that she said every morning when she woke up to get herself into that mind space. And it was something along the lines of, I, Jeanette Ma, am the best, most fantastic LOA coach in the entire world. And it was a really long, you know, just like pumping herself up kind of statement. But she clarified to me, and I'm not saying that I'm better than anybody else, you know, so we all have that. But she was just, declaring her own worthiness to herself to the point where she felt it so much that she didn't feel the need to show other people how worthy she was, because she just believes in it for herself.
Yeah,
and then it radiates outwards and is reflected back to her.
And I also, if I'm of all the LOA teachers that I've seen anywhere, there's nobody who has it down. You know?
She's awesome.
She is there's never been, she said controversial stuff too, which is 100% in line with everything Joshua says. And nobody else is like that. Yeah.
Wow.
She is totally, totally in sync. And for someone who's not channeling directly, well, maybe she is, you know, to have such a clear understanding of it is, I've never seen anyone that's 100% there all the time.
Well, why not switch out cockiness with knowing? With knowing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. With knowing that you're worthy.
Right.
And that knowing that other people may see it as cocky and that's okay with them. Because you can't be in charge of their perception.
Create, yeah. Exactly. They tell us that all the time. We have no idea what their perception is because of all of their filters. So why not just know within yourself?
And the idea of being perceived as cocky, especially for you, Mark, because you're such an uplifter, I don't think it's even possible for you to come off as cocky. If you were to like reach that level of worthiness, I think you would still just emanate love for other people and like raise them up enough that it wouldn't, I think it would be really hard to perceive you as cocky.
Yeah, I confident, totally agree, you know? Because I think cocky is really a masking of some fear of inadequacy. And I've seen myself as super cocky in the past, and I was masking this fear of someone doubting me or making me wrong, you know, because I couldn't be wrong. I remember vividly showing this triplex to this investor, and his contractor was saying it needed $100,000. And I had, you know, I was in the, at the time renovating 30 houses a month. And I'm like, my contractor will do it for $40,000. And he's like, well, my contractor's right here. He said $100,000. I said, listen, I do 30 a month, okay? Who are you going to trust, him or me? This is what I do.
Right.
And that guy, it totally turned him off because it was cocky because I was masking this thing of how dare you question me, that idea. You know? Bruce, who is a business coach, has coined the term garrigance, which is Gary and arrogance put together. But apparently it's not negative, he says. Because it's just this way of presenting yourself as confident. If you're authentically confident, well, that is based in love. And if you're cocky, well, that is based in some fear of unworthiness or inadequacy.
What's humble when somebody says they're very humble?
Yeah, I don't think.
Is that gratitude?
I don't think it is. I think humble is.
Well, isn't that tied in with humility?
Humility? I don't know.
And Joshua said there's no. Remember, Tyler, he told you there's no
benefit in it because it's just you limiting yourself, like making yourself smaller so as to not make other people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That was, I think that was the same conversation where they told me it's awesome to be cocky.
Yeah.
And but that was in the context of.
The context is for the person directly.
Like surgeons like is what we were talking about.
Yeah.
When they,
so there's a humility or being humble based in love, and there's doing the same thing based in. So the word humble itself is neutral, and then how it's perceived by the person who's being humble determines if it's in line with love and aligned.
Well, yeah, because it kind of goes along with what Kyla said. Like, if you believe you're worthy so much, and then you can appear to be humble because you don't have to prove it to anybody.
Right.
So that can come off as just being humble, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I was thinking was, you know, so let's say Trump. So Trump. He's one of the best users of law of attraction or examples of using the law of attraction in the world, right? I mean, my God. And so but then there's a lot of ego and fear in there in my perception. So I'm just wondering what Joshua would think. Like,
okay, well, here's my opinion of what Joshua would
think. Yeah.
Is that here's someone who's epitomizing the old approach to life. They are doing whatever they can to control the conditions, so much so that they want to run the country, that they want to be the leader of the world.
But he did it, though.
Yeah.
He became president.
And do you think he's happy? Do you think this gives him any satisfaction at all? Do you think that
he made it happen?
Desire? Yes. You can make anything you want happen by taking the old approach to life. There's never been an argument with that. Well, what Joshua is saying is by trying to control the conditions, you're never, ever, ever going to get what you really want.
That's right.
Right.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
So that's like someone who wants to be rich, and they can make it happen through brute force. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't bring them true happiness.
Exactly. I think was another rich aspect, and I was totally unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was poor.
For
and totally
Trump,
too. Go ahead.
For Trump, I think another aspect of it, like he is practicing the old approach, but I think he also is very. I mean, he believes, you know, that he would be the best president. He believes all these things like very strongly. And so I think that that helps to create some of this, even though it's not like, I think it's a case of him thinking that he wants one thing, like Gary said, when he actually wants something different. But I think that the power of his beliefs also helps him get where he is, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
You can live the old approach to life and believe something and get it. And you can live the new approach to life and believe something and allow it. I look at the Dalai Lama, and that to me is an authentic life. He is humble yet completely confident in at the same
right
time,
there you go.
Right?
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yep. Okay, let's go to the next one.
You can help him by maintaining your alignment. The only way to do this is to reduce the intensity of your fears. If you feel fear, you will lose alignment, and then the confidence and love you want to show will not come through. The way to release your fears is to look at your father and mother from the higher perspective. Your inner self is already doing that. If you can gain that perspective, you can regain your alignment, and from that position, you can offer whatever help your father wants.
Right. So not only are you, like, you see your father struggling, and what you truly want is for him to get whatever he needs. But what you think you want is for him to get better so you can feel better, right? So if you look at him going through these struggles and you say, he's going through this experience, so if he could, you know, he needs to go through it, and I'll be here to support him with whatever he needs. Mm-hmm. And if I can maintain my alignment, then I can get those ideas of what he needs to support him for what he truly wants. Mm-hmm. If you're out of alignment, you just think, okay, we got to fix this problem, we got to fix this problem, we got to fix this problem. Not because he has a problem, but because I can't get into alignment if he has a problem. Can't feel good.
Yeah.
So always remember that if you want someone to be different, it's not because you want anything for them. It's that you want it for yourself.
Yeah. And then the thing about that ties around to, like, for his experience, and I think it prolongs it if you don't have the feeling of it's happening for me instead of to me. Like the whole, so if you keep resisting it and trying to fix it, even just for himself, that prolongs the problem as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Makes it difficult for everyone, because then he feels bad that you feel bad because he feels bad, you know, all that stuff. And now you just spiral downwards.
And then you're getting to another manifestational event and another until you kind of just get it and kind of give in and
until
learn
the
whatever
you control.
Yeah.
Yep. So I think that this new approach to life is all about releasing your need for control. Okay.
It is no coincidence that your mother is being drawn away. This does not mean your father is necessarily beginning his transition. It might be that this will allow him to create a desire for something else. The fact is, this is all happening for your mother, for your father, and even for you. You seem to be the one with the most resistance. You can either wallow in resistance. Okay. You can either wallow in resistance and be of no use to anyone and actually make things worse for everyone, or you can regain your alignment and tap into energies that will help the situation. It's your choice. You cannot make a wrong choice. You can either be of use or not. You are of no use when you are out of alignment. In order for you to leverage the universe and step into your authentic power as a healer, you must first regain the perspective that your inner self has and realign yourself with that. That's when your power can be effective. That's leveraging universal energy to be of service to others. This is what you truly want. And so now that you've asked this question and received our answer, you can see how this event happened for your benefit as well. With our love, we are Joshua.
So do you guys see how this was a manifestation event for her and how this can help her?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because
Because it's bringing all her limiting beliefs about homeopathy and not being taken seriously.
Exactly. Mm. Yep. And she, like everyone in their profession, has some feelings of inadequacy or unworthiness about it. Everyone does. I do in this. In doing Joshua, I have constant feelings of unworthiness. And I just have to remind myself that I'm as worthy as anyone else is, and I can maintain my alignment and allow stuff to flow. Yep. And I'm getting more and more feeling worthier and worthier every single day as we do stuff like this. Every new podcast, every new Joshua Live, every new answer, I feel more and more worthy. Where here I am today, 4 years or 3.5 years later, since it all started, I've never felt more worthy in this role of bringing Joshua.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And it took 3.5 years to get here. And it's just, now it's expanding and expanding and expanding. I did a interview with Julie Ryan. Have you ever listened to that podcast?
No, I haven't.
Attraction Radio Network too. She is an intuitive healer. And so she can scan people and see what their issue is. She did one with Deborah Jo and Lily, and both of them were blown away by him. And so she has a podcast. She's been doing 20 years. And she's like, she can talk to dead people and all that stuff. Really intuitive. And we had this interview. And before the interview, I intended to tap into this level of consciousness and to feel worthy and feel like I could be who I really was, as authentic as I really was. And this, our interview went by in 10 seconds. It was so quick. And it was just connection that we had.
Thank you for joining us on the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. Remember, you are loved more than you can imagine, by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next week.
I'm going to ask, like, did it feel like channeling Joshua?
It felt like goosebumps. Like when I'm doing Joshua, I feel goosebumps the whole time. Like this surging energy that comes through me. And I felt for the first time like a lot of, like right now, I can sort of feel a little bit of goosebumps, but it was a lot. Yeah. So it was cool. Anyway, so Julie Ryan is going to join us in our Joshua Land Cruise in September. So she'll be doing speaking and workshops and doing scans of people who, you know, see where your energy is. And she says what she sees is like a layer of film or plastic over the person's body. And if there's a tear in that plastic, that's where this escape of energy is, and that she can vibrationally fix it and knows what to do to fix it, too.
Oh, she can vibrationally fix it.
Yeah. Like Lily's had a frozen shoulder, and so she says, touch your shoulder, which means Lily can't lift her arm above 8 o'clock. You know, 9 o'clock would be straight out, and 12 o'clock would be straight up, and she could get it to like 8 o'clock. And she's had it for a year now. And so she said, touch your shoulder. Okay, now pretend there's a clock there on your shoulder and touch 2 o'clock, and that's where the biggest tear is in your rotator cuff. And you can feel that. It's painful. And he's like, yeah. And then at 7 o'clock and 5 o'clock, there are two more tears right there. So I'm going to help you heal that. And she's like, you have to get a sling. You cannot move furniture anymore. Can't get your massages anymore, because that just, what he's having you do by stretching it is not allowing the stuff to heal.
Michael's
like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. And so now she's has a sling, and she's making everyone else, she's like, you have to be the queen bee and you cannot move any furniture.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So she's amazing, and she's got a cool podcast where she takes live calls from people and tells them what their issue is. But she'll be with us in September at Club Med. So if anyone wants to come to Club Med, we have spaces available. How do they go about being in? Probably the best thing to
look at Facebook. Yeah.
Well, our Facebook page is a closed group. And anyone who's listening to this, you can just send me an email, joshuateachings@gmail.com, and I will add you to our Facebook group. It's really a fantastic place. There's about 75 people, all like-minded, cool people from all over the world. And we'll add to that, and that's where you'll learn about everything. Or go to theteachingsofjoshua.com, sign up for the newsletter, or you can hit the contact us there, and I'll get an email from you, that sort of thing. But I'm looking forward to September. That place
Me
is
too.
Fantastic, too. It might be a little warm here, but it's on the water, and Frank will have his boat, and everything's free. You can't pay for anything. You can't tip. Everything's endless.
Nice. Yep.
All the water sports are free. It's great. Golf.
It's gonna be a ball.
Yep.
It'll be fun.
All right, you guys. This was probably the
best
one we've ever had.
Yeah. The best.
Thanks for being part of it, Isabel.
Thank you for having me.
Now, when you take your train ride in to the city, do you work in the city?
No, I work in a little town called Milford, Connecticut.
Uh-huh. And that's
and it's all back roads. 45 minutes away. Yep.
Wow. So So when you commute now, you can listen to yourself.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, you guys, thanks so much for being here. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week, and we'll see you all again on Joshua Live on Monday. We'll talk to you then.
See you. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. Remember, you are loved more than you can imagine, by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next week.